You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hello and welcome to the On The Money podcast. It's Wednesday, the 1st of October. I'm Stephanie Youssef, filling in for Ricardo Gonçalves. Today, the ASX fell flat. I'll have a bit more on that and the reaction to reports of China's ban on BHP iron ore a bit later with Niv Dagan from Peak Asset Management. But first, the federal government's home guarantee scheme has been expanded from today to include all first home buyers, regardless of their income. It means more people will be able to enter the market with just a 5% deposit. But it comes as house prices across Australia continue to rise, according to Cotality's Home Value Index. For more on this, I spoke with Cotality's Asia Pacific Research Director, Tim Lawless. So Tim, how would you describe the pace of price growth in the housing market and what's driving it?
Well, we're definitely seeing momentum building in the market. The 0.8% rise on our national index was the strongest monthly result we've seen since October 2023. Still a long way for the pandemic highs or the high point of early 2023, but definitely we're seeing the market building momentum since February. So aligning with the first round of rate cuts in February and just building on that. Also with a lot of diversity. We are seeing, you know, Darwin and Perth, for example, very strong markets, Brisbane as well. Each of those capitals seeing housing values rising at more than 1% month on month. But at the other end of the spectrum, you've got a market like Hobart that's really sluggish, you know, value growth of about 0.1%. It's virtually flat. Melbourne's still a relatively soft market as well. So is the ACT. So I think, to answer your question, momentum is building, but a lot of diversity. And again, we're seeing some of the mid-sized capitals really pulling away from the pack.
There's growth right across the board. All the capital cities are up. For the year, it's up 4.8% nationally. How does that compare to recent years?
Well, that's still a pretty mild rate of growth. And remember, the full 12-month calculation includes the second half of last year. There was generally a market that was losing speed. In fact, moving through the end of last year and early this year, we even saw values dipping a little bit in most markets. So the annual rate of growth is still quite mild. I think the quarterly trend at 2.2% probably speaks to this building momentum in the market, and the monthly numbers the strongest since October 23. I think we'll see the annual growth rate continuing to grow on here, given the fact that the market is clearly reaccelerating.
Do you expect that to continue? Like, how long do we expect that growth to continue? And do we risk an overheating of the market?
It's really hard to say how long this cycle can go. On one hand, we already have really stretched housing affordability, particularly in markets like Sydney, for example, where the median house value is now holding above the $1.5 million mark. Adelaide, as well, when you adjust for local incomes, is looking extraordinarily unaffordable. Yet we're still seeing housing prices rising, which comes back to the dilemma between supply being very low, both from a listings perspective and a newly built perspective, and demand is actually up. In fact, we're seeing the transactional activity through the September quarter is about 5% above the five-year average. So there's this ongoing disconnect between demand and supply that's likely to keep some upwards pressure on housing prices, despite the fact that housing is already severely unaffordable. On top of that, you have another demand-side stimulus that went live today, being the expanded deposit guarantee scheme, which will probably add a bit more fuel to the fire.
How do we fix that supply issue?
It's a real challenge. Unfortunately, obviously, we're seeing a lot of reform around town planning. We're seeing building approvals and dwelling approvals moving through more quickly. We're seeing some areas getting rezoned for upzoning and so forth. But that doesn't really matter at the moment. We're seeing builders and developers facing feasibility challenges. And of course, it's the private sector that needs to be delivering housing supply, at least mostly. So until we start to see a better balance between opportunities for profitability for the private sector to build more homes, that generally means either construction costs or input costs come down, or they're able to charge a larger premium for housing. Both of those scenarios are looking quite far off at the moment. So I think the outlook for the next year or so is probably one where supply remains somewhat broken, and we're going to be in the situation of undersupply across most markets.
What about the rental market? What's that like at the moment?
Well, the rental market was loosening up for a little while there, but pretty much through 2025, we've been seeing a re-tightening of vacancy rates. In fact, they reached a new record low in September, falling to the high 1.4% mark. And of course, that's been accompanied by a re-acceleration in rental growth as well. So for renters who have seen about a 45% increase in rents over the past 5 years, it's bad news. There's not a lot of rental supply around, and we're seeing rents once again starting to re-accelerate. This also has implications for inflation, of course, with rents having a fairly large weighting in the quarterly CPI calculation, with a bit of a lag, of course. So we probably won't see that showing up in actual CPI measures for another year or so, but it certainly does have implications for the inflation outlook with rents re-accelerating now.
We saw the RBA yesterday keep interest rates on hold. But what kind of impact has the three rate cuts that we have had this year have on housing activity?
Well, I think it's no surprise to see this positive inflection in housing markets and value growth is aligned perfectly with February rate cuts. And as rates have come down, as you say, by 75 basis points, that's seen more momentum building in the market. I think it goes well beyond just the impact of lower rates, though. Lower rates mean improved borrowing capacity and serviceability, but it also flows fairly quickly through to a boost in sentiment and confidence, which is really important for housing markets. On top of that, we're seeing this additional demand just running headlong into supply shortages. So I think that's the real reason why we're seeing housing prices rising at a time when affordability is quite stretched. But it does look like the interest rate cutting cycle may be a little bit, I suppose, more uncertain now, given that the higher than expected monthly inflation numbers, really tight labor markets. But chances are we'll still see at least one more rate cut over the next 12 months or so, which probably does mean that housing markets still have some support from a rate perspective.
With prices up and demand hot and, supply is down, what advice do you have for someone who's looking to enter the market? Are there still some affordable options out there?
I think buyers are probably feeling a pretty acute sense of urgency at the moment, especially first home buyers who might be looking to take advantage of the expanded deposit guarantees. I think this is going to be very much a case of first in, best dressed to take advantage of areas that are generally more popular or highly desirable that are still below the price caps, the expanded price caps. So I think with that in mind, there probably will be some pockets of stronger growth that are probably around the middle to lower end of the marketplace. That's exactly where we've been seeing the strongest price pressures before the expanded deposit guarantee as well. So it does look like the more affordable markets are probably in a position to, well, outperform the broader market from a property growth perspective. But I think more broadly, we probably will see buyers becoming more active despite the affordability constraints, given how tight rental markets are, and I suppose the stimulus from both first home buyers and lower interest rates improved borrowing capacity.
That was Tim Lawless from Cotality. Now to the Australian share market, which has fallen flat as investors react to the US government shutdown and reports of China temporarily banning purchases of BHP's iron ore. For more, I spoke with Niv Dagan from Peak Asset Management.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of fear regarding the US shutdown predominantly and some speculation with China and the issues with BHP predominantly dragging the market lower. Market's down about 20 points as we speak.
So speaking of the US government shutdown, it's now come into effect. How does that affect us here in Australia and what's been the market response so far?
Yeah, so the market's down about 20 points as we speak. Right now, the shutdown, there's essentially 750,000 federal workers at risk or essentially being suspended. A lot of division among the US policymakers and more specifically regarding climate change, immigration, defence and spending. And we feel that if the shutdown is implemented the longer it takes, it will have a negative drawdown on the markets.
The Reserve Bank left interest rates on hold yesterday, and now CommBank has joined NAB in pushing back its forecast for the next rate cut to next year. What's the market expecting?
Yeah, look, I mean, it was a little bit of a shock that the RBA essentially left interest rates on hold. Having said that, the market's now not factoring in an interest rates cut until 2026, where a lot of economists out there did have that provision by the end of the year, especially for Melbourne Cup Day. We have seen inflation starting to pick up. Private credit is a bit of an issue, and so the Reserve Bank is eagerly waiting the CPI figures in the next coming month or so to make a more assessment of the inflation and the impacts on the RBA cash rates going forward.
So let's talk about BHP. Shares have suffered today following those reports that China has temporarily banned all new BHP cargoes. It relates to continued negotiations over supply contracts and price disputes. So what does this indicate about how those negotiations are going? And if there ends up being a long-term ban, what kind of impact could that have on both BHP and China?
Oh, look, it's a huge story. I mean, across the board, BHP stock price is down about 2% today. So it's actually held up fairly well given the magnitude of what that means to BHP's balance sheet and spending. Essentially, BHP derives around 50 to 55% of its sales to China, and 11% of China's steel output made out of BHP's essentially exports. So, look, it's a big story to unfold. Albanese came out saying, look, there needs to be a solution straight away. We will be eagerly watching this space very, very carefully, and that impact in terms of the Australian-China relationship as a whole.
What are you telling your clients at the moment, and where are the opportunities for investors?
Yeah, we're starting to see some negative tailwinds, obviously, with what's happening with RBA leaving interest rates on hold and not reducing cash rates at this foreseeable future. BHP, private credit with La Trobe Financial, obviously the government shutdown. Gold prices are going up above $3,850 an ounce in US dollar terms. So, look, across the board, we are actually advising clients to take some money off the table. We did have some discussions with some larger of our clients and reducing their positions and increase the cash weightings accordingly.
That was Niv Dagan from Peak Asset Management. And that's all for today. Ricardo will be back tomorrow. Thanks for joining me.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.